Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly give honor and thanks for being on the broadcast today. Just so thankful to God for all that He is doing. And He's just such an amazing God. And even during this time where it seems like there's so much confusion and so much stuff going on, God is still faithful. And so I'm just so thankful for that. We're on the broadcast today. We're supposed to be talking about submission, but we're going to talk about worry today because the Lord kept putting that in my spirit. So I said, well, we'll talk about that today. And from that perspective, we're going to talk about worry. So that's what we're talking about today. I'm trying to do all these little technical things at one time, but we'll see how this goes. So God bless each and every one of you that will be logging in, those that will be calling in, those that will listen to the broadcast later. Thank you for joining me on Blog Talk Radio as we do our radio broadcast at the same time, and also joining me here on Facebook Live, and we thank God for that. I hear those Cowboys won, so I know everybody in Texas is excited, and those Cowboy fans are excited. So that's an exciting thing that's going on. But anyway, we're here. We're going to talk about worry a little bit today because there's just so much going on. And so I just want to encourage somebody that they understand, but they will know that God is in control. No matter what it looks like, no matter what all the confusion, all the stuff that is going on, God is still in control. He has not left His, He never does. And so it doesn't matter what they're saying on one channel or this channel or whatever channel, or whoever's calling you, telling you the news. You know, they call and tell me the news because last time I don't watch it. And so, but people are calling and telling me what's going on. And so those are the things we got to deal with. So anyway, let's start out with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You today. We thank You for Your mercy and for Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that You are the all-wise God. You're omnipotent, omnipresent, You're omniscient. You are sovereign. And God, we thank You. We thank You that You are shepherd and that we shall not want. We thank You, Lord, Jesus, that You are light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? We thank You, Lord, that You are our refuge and our dwelling place, God. We thank You. We thank You that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run in and can be saved. So, Lord, we thank You for all those things. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah for Your glory. Hallelujah. We thank You for our opportunity to give You, to lift our hands and praise You. We thank You for the opportunity to worship. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your presence. Because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, healing can take place. Miracle signs and wonders can take place. But Lord, we thank You for allowing us to come into Your presence. God, we ask You, Lord, we invite You in, oh God. You are welcome here. Holy Spirit, You are welcome. So we ask You to come into this broadcast today, Lord Jesus, and teach through us. God, that people will be blessed. Those that hear will not only be hearers of Your word, but doers of Your word also, Lord. We'll be willing and obedient. We'll have faith and work with it. Lord, we ask You, Lord Jesus, to touch all of those who have lost loved ones, God. Comfort them as only You can, Lord Jesus. Give them peace as only You can. Keep them as only You can, Lord. Bless those who have lost loved ones by suicide, Lord Jesus. They found their loved ones in some kind of way, Lord. We just ask You to bless those families. They're dealing with a whole different type of grief. But, Lord, we ask You to bless those families, God, that are dealing with that type of death. Father, we ask You, Lord Jesus, to strengthen and comfort them, Lord, as only You can. Because, Lord, we thank You because You're so merciful. You are so merciful, Lord. But we just ask You, Lord, to bless people, Lord, that they will turn to You in their hour of need, oh God, and not turn to other things or want to just give up. But, Lord, you give them the strength and the power if they just turn to You, oh, God, and let the family members begin to be more aware, more attentive to each of their family members so we can kind of know what's going on, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask You, Lord Jesus, to bless, Lord Jesus, all of those on the line, God, those that are on the teaching on the broadcast today, those that will listen to it later, God, I'm praying a special blessing upon them. God, we ask You, Lord Jesus, to meet every need in their life, oh God. And, Lord, we ask You, Lord Jesus, because You said You would supply our needs. So, Lord, we thank You for it. Lord, we ask You, Lord Jesus, that we rebuke worry, we rebuke stress, we rebuke anxiety, we rebuke frustration, we rebuke disappointment, God, in the name of Jesus. God, and we're asking You, the Lord Jesus, just to let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And let the peace of God rest in you and abide with us. Give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. God, we ask you to bless each and every one who has lost their job, who doesn't have any income coming in. Lord, we ask you to provide for them because, Lord, you are our provision. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, God, Lord, to let us bless money to come from whichever way it is, Lord. We ask you to bless them, oh God, with the things that they need, whether it's food, clothing, and shelter. Oh, Lord, every need, every bill will be met on time, God, in the name of Jesus. We rebuke worry from each of those individuals, oh God, who don't know where it's going to come from. But, Lord, if we put our trust and our hope in you, Lord, we know that you are Jehovah Jireh and you will provide for us. God, I'm asking, Lord, for healing for those that need healing, Lord, because you said healing is the children's bread. Let us eat of it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. But, Lord, let your healing virtue flow through the bodies of those that need healing. I'm asking a special prayer for Mother Gwen today. I thank you, Lord, for her, but I'm asking, Lord, a special prayer for her. Touch her body, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her as only you can. Father, we thank you for the good report that will come from her. I ask you to bless Eddie Jean, Lord Jesus. You know, bless her, Lord. You know what she stands in need of, oh God. I ask you to bless Phyllis Cantrell, oh God. Touch her body, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you to bless her, Lord Jesus, and heal her in the area that she needs healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you to bless all of those that have requested either prayer. Janine asked you, touch her body, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the victory report that will come from her, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Bless each and every one that has requested healing, oh God, in some kind of way, whether it's from COVID-19 or something else. God, we are asking, Lord, to let your healing virtue flow. God, we thank you, and we'll be mindful to give you the praise. God, we glorify and we magnify. Bless your word that it will fall on good ground, Lord, that those that hear it may be will run with it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Save those that need to be saved. Set free those that need to be set free and delivered, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We glorify and we magnify your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord, Brian Stone. Praise the Lord, Adrian Carr. Praise the Lord. Michael Lewis, and Lord, we praise the Lord. I saw Lisa Carter, Pastor Lisa Carter on here. Praise the Lord. We thank God for each and every one of you. And so I just want to talk a little bit about today. I haven't really studied, really. I've been reading and just doing some reading, but I haven't really studied. And I wasn't going to come on because I've been up since like 12:30 this morning. I don't know what that was about today. I went to sleep too early. I fell asleep too early yesterday and on Saturday. And then I woke up at midnight, a little after 12:30. It was after midnight. So 12:30, and I have been up ever since. Then I got to start doing too much because I got projects that I'm trying to finish, and I wanted to get to a certain place. I was getting up doing too much, and so I've been up ever since. But anyway, so I almost said, well, I'm not going to do this today because I am tired. But anyway, and then about 5 o'clock, my alarm went off, and I said, well, I said, God, I think I'll go back to bed. And then I kept fiddling around, and then all of a sudden it was 7 o'clock, so it was time to start watching services and stuff, you know, so I had to stay on up. But anyway, I thank God for the energy that he's given me. I thank God for some of these projects getting done over here at my house. So I want to talk a little bit about worry because I got tickled. It was a friend of mine, and I'll tell my own story. It was a friend of mine came, and she stopped by here probably maybe, I'm going to say 6 months ago or more. And anyway, she said, she came in the house, and, you know, thank God that she had been in my house prior to that because then she wouldn't have been upset. But she came in here, and she looked around. No, it probably was more, I'm almost thinking about 9 months ago. It was probably before COVID. It probably was 2019 when she stopped over here, and it was so funny. Because she said, Denise, she said, what's wrong? She said, I've never seen your house look like this. I mean, it's been in disarray. And so she said, I've never seen your house look like that. She said, what is wrong? And I just really didn't realize, you know, that something was going on with me, you know, really going on with me until then. I knew, you know, I was feeling, you know, like, oh, Lord, I got to get this house cleaned up. And I kept saying that to everybody I talked to. I said, oh, I got to get this house cleaned up. This house, you know, my nerves, I got to get this house cleaned up. Got to get this house cleaned up. But, you know, I usually keep my house pretty clean, and I usually keep things in place. And it just looked like it was overwhelmed. I felt very overwhelmed. And it was like everything. I'm like, what is all this stuff in here? And it's like, I said, how can one person accumulate so much stuff? And so I was getting a little discouraged about it. Anyway, it was getting on my nerves. You know, all kind of stuff was going on. And I said, told myself, I got to clean up, and I have another friend of mine, Phyllis Dodson. She kept telling me, she said, Because I kept saying, oh, I got to get these, oh, Lord, I got to get this cleaner. Oh, Lord, I got to get cleaner. I just kept saying and kept saying and kept saying, not really realizing that I was kind of depressed, I guess. I was kind of discouraged, kind of depressed about so many things. And then I had given furniture away, a roommate. When they left, I gave them some furniture. And then I had another roommate, so I had to move furniture, rearrange the whole house so to accommodate them. And then everything just got clean out, closets, and then I hadn't had nowhere to put the stuff, and just everything got out of order. So anyway, then when they left, I put everything in that room that I had cleaned out. So the room was, I shut the door because I didn't want to look in there. So anyway, finally, I started pulling myself back up, and now I felt myself coming back up. And so I began to get things cleaned up. So this is funny. Every time I get a room straightened up, I just go in there and sit. It's hilarious to me. I go in there and just sit in the room because I'd be so happy that it's clean. That's funny. That's my little story I wanted to tell. But anyway, I want to talk about worry. It's amazing how we can worry about things and not really realize that we are worried about stuff. Because so many things are going on. Like I said, so many things are going on. We think about, the pandemic and all in itself. That's something totally new and different to us because we have never seen anything like this in our lifetime. And so then we have that going on. Then the election and all of that extra drama, which it is our extra drama, and all of that going on. And I know I saw when Justice Ruth, when she passed away on Friday, when I woke up and saw that, I was just discouraged. I got really discouraged again, and I thought, oh, my God. And then the Lord said to me, he said, why are you discouraged about something you can't do nothing about? He said, you can't do nothing about that. He said, I called her on home. He said, you can't do nothing about that, so why are you discouraged about it? He said, why are you getting discouraged about things that you cannot change? He said, things that you have no control over. Things that, we have to almost, it was a song that I think it was Mr. Clean White and Twinkie, they sung that song, We Have to Accept What God Allows. It was a song that came out a long time ago, and I remember that blessed me one year. I was really going through some things, and that song just blessed me. We have to accept what God allows. And so the thing about it is God is still in control. He's still in control. And he told me, he said, you just need to trust me. He said, that's all you need to do is put your trust and your faith and your belief in me. He said, that's all that needs to take place. You can't do whatever we can't do. If we can't do anything about it, there's no need in us getting worried about it. There's no need in us going through a lot of trauma about things we cannot change. We can't change nothing concerning this pandemic. All we can do is be compliant to what they are asking us to do. Wear a mask, wear gloves if you want to. People say, you wear gloves. I say, yeah, I'm still wearing the gloves. So anyway, wear the gloves, put your mask on, try not to be in big gathering places and crunched up around a bunch of people. Those are the only things we can do. We can only do and pray. I pray every time I go out. Every time I pray, I go praying Psalms 91 over my life because I believe that God is going to take care of me. I believe that God is going to keep me. I'm trusting in him. And so when we put our trust and our hope and our faith in him, then what we have to understand, praise the Lord, Riri, praise the Lord, what we have to understand is that God is, God is in control. He's the one and he's got it all under control. I know sometimes we think he ain't got it under control. We are asking ourselves, where are you, God? Where are you, God? Because we just want it to be over with. And some of us want things to go back to the way they were. But honestly, I really am enjoying the journey with God that I'm having. I'm enjoying the prayer time. I'm enjoying the sitting down having, just fellowship with God and being in his presence and getting the opportunity to draw closer to him and that he'll draw nigh unto me. I'm so thankful for that. So I hope that other people are beginning to enjoy that instead of worrying about what they cannot control. We can't control the election. We cannot control, and I'm confessing who I want to win. I'm gonna keep my confession going because I don't want that. I told myself I'm not saying nothing that I don't want to happen. And that's what we gotta begin to think in our own life. We got to stop doing things, saying things about stuff that we don't want to happen. The Bible tells us, he says, when we pray. If we believe we will receive, we shall have what we say. So if you are praying something, then believe you're going to receive it. That's what we have to do. And so we can't be disturbed about all the chatter that goes on, all the things that the enemy continues to try to bring in our ear gate and all of that, the stuff he wants us to sit around and begin to focus on or get distracted with. Stay focused on God. God is still in control. He is the one that is going to bring us out of every situation that we're in. He is the one that is changing things. And if you're in a thing where you're going through a certain situation, begin to ask God, Lord, what am I to learn from this situation? Instead of murmuring and complaining about it, what shall I learn? What should I learn from this situation? So first of all, I won't have to cross this bridge no more. And then the second thing is that I will get better. I will get stronger. That is what we really want to happen. So and then because I thought about Noah, and I'm going to Genesis 7, the 7th chapter, and I thought in the 16th verse, I thought about Noah. Now, who was in a situation where he didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but he trusted God anyway. He just trusted God that whatever God told him, that's what was going to happen. And so he built that. When God told him to build the ark, they was making fun of him about building this ark, and it was a big boat, big ark. But Noah just kept on doing what the Lord had told him to do. Same thing for us. We may not know what the outcome of anything is going to be, but if God has told us to do something, that is what we should really be focused on. We shouldn't be worried about it. I'm trying to fix this light because I look like I'm in the dark, but I'm not. I've got plenty of light on in this room. But anyway, we got to understand that God is in a place where he's in control. And so because of that, if he tells us to do it, if we would just go on and begin to do what God has told us to do and not really be so worried about, you know, the outcome of things, we will see the manifestation of God's promises begin to take place in our life. And so I thought about Noah when I thought about being worried and doing what the Lord said do, no matter what is going on. And so I thought about it in Noah 6, 7, and 16. And this is when Noah began to, you know, we know the story. Most people know the story of him building the ark, and then he had to take so many of the animals in with him. Now, just think about that. He's taking in lions, tigers, and bears. He's taking all of those into the ark. And a lot of those animals are, you know, they eat people. You know, they eat flesh. And so, but anyway, God had it fixed where he didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. But, you know, but still he had to go in the ark. And then the Bible says, let's read it in Genesis 7. And 16, I started at the 16th verse, I believe I am. And it said, I'm going to start at the 13th verse. It says, in the self same day, entered Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of the sons with them, into the ark. And they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird, every sort of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh were in the breath of life, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. So he was shut in into the ark, and he couldn't come out. It wasn't like we could get out and go to the grocery store, or we can get out and run to, you know, to Target, or run to Best Buy, or run to these places, even though we got to have our mask and stuff on. Noah and them was shut in. They couldn't even get out. They didn't have no way out. They didn't have no key to get out. They didn't have no way, no crowbar to get them out. They had nothing. God shut them in. And the flood was 40 days on the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lifted up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Now that's going up high. If you think about it, that's a lot of water, and the ark was lifting up to that point. Because when they ended up, they were on Mount Arafat. So they had went all the way up to the mountaintop and landed on a mountain. That's how far the water had taken them up. And so, you know, if anybody had cause to be worried was them, but they wasn't worried. It said 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, both fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. Every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth at 150 days. Could you imagine being shut up in a boat with all them sinking animals? 150 days. That's how long they were in there. And so, and they had to have food, and they had to have whatever it was they needed, and knowing them had to make sure they had that. And so, but they were shut up in that ark 50 days. But then it says this. This is what I loved about it when Noah came out. It says, and Noah, let me go back to this. This is the 8th chapter. I'm going to start at the 19th verse. Yeah. It says, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl that whatsoever creepeth upon the earth and their kind went forth out of the ark. So let me go to 15. Let me go back up here to 15. It says, and God spake unto Moses, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breathe abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark. But this is the wonderful thing I thought about when I thought about Noah. Although they were shut in all those days, and they didn't really know what the outcome is. They were just trusting God. Same thing we got to do today. We just got to trust God. We've been shut in for a while. We were shut in and shelter in place, and then we finally were able to get out some, and you know, the numbers were going up. Now they're kind of calming down, but they're expecting another spike. All of these things are going on. But the one thing that Noah did, it says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, but for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So the wonderful thing when Moses did come out of the ark, the first thing he did was to build an altar and offer sacrifice. He began to worship. He began to praise God. That's what he did. So what should we be doing during this time that we are limited in our in what we can do, where we can go, how we can gather, things like that? What should we be doing? We should be bringing a sacrifice of praise, worshiping the God. He should be able to smell the prayers of the saints, of the righteous. It comes up like incense into his nostrils. So the same thing that was going on right there in Noah's time, is the same thing we should be doing now. We should be sending up the prayers, that incense that will go up to God's nostrils. He'll smell that. We should be sacrificing, giving him a sacrifice of praise. We should be worshiping him during this time, because we don't know what the outcome is, but one thing we do know is our God is still God. Our God is the God that made heaven and earth. Our God is the one that puts his angels encamped around about us and keep us safe. We know these things. So worry shouldn't be our mantle. Worry shouldn't be what's happening for us. What we should be doing is offering a sacrifice unto God. A sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice. These are the things that should be going on. And so in your time where you are a little limited and restricted, from what you should do, make sure you're taking that time and giving it over to the Lord, that you are giving him about what he is asking us to do. Even though we don't know what the outcome is going to be, we're still being asked to give a sacrifice of praise. We're still being asked to worship him, because that's what we were created to do. We were created to worship. We were created to praise him. And we can pray. We can, you know, when I think about the story when Jonah, you know, when Jonah finally did get out the belly of the whale and he went on to do what God had told him to do, when he got to Nineveh and he told them that God was going to destroy the nation, going to destroy the city, those people, what they did was they began to fast and pray. They began to repent for their wrong. They began to do all of that thing because they did it in hope, in hope. They didn't know for sure, but they hoped that God would turn it around, that he would turn his anger from them, and they would not have reap what Jonah had said would happen. And that is exactly what happened. So how much more can we do that today? How much more can we get before the Lord in prayer? How much more can we offer up a sacrifice of praise? Because we may not know what the outcome is going to be, but what we do know is our God is able. We know that our God is trustworthy and that we don't have to worry. We can trust and depend on him. Don't keep worrying about stuff you can't do nothing about. If they laid you off the job, what can you do about it? All you can do is offer a sacrifice of praise unto God. All you can do is begin to trust him even the more. Trust him as your provider. I think it was Pastor Bishop preached a good man. He preached good today, too. He was talking about David and Goliath, but y'all have to go back and listen to it because I don't want to do any, I don't want to try it because I don't like to do that any justice because I believe that what he said is what he said. But what I do want to do is go over here to Matthew 6, the 6th chapter, because Jesus gives us a blueprint about what we should not, how we should not worry, how worry, say, he gives us reasons why we shouldn't worry. We got reasons why we shouldn't worry because we trust a covenant-keeping God. We trust a God that's able to keep you when you in some tight places. Look how God kept Noah and his sons and his wives and their wives in a tight place with animals that usually they might would have to do some battle with because they would be trying to hurt them. But they, he kept them in those tight places. Just like he kept them, he can keep us just the same. He can keep us just the same. They were in that stinking ark. But anyway, God kept them during that time. But for the first thing that Noah did when he came out of there, he built an altar. And he began to give a sacrifice of praise. And he began to do that. So let's listen to what Jesus has to say about us not worrying about everything. We got to let worry go. And then I'll read Philippians 4 as well. But anyway, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, I'm going to start at the 25th verse, I think. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Okay, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for the body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He gives provision. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all they grow in that Solomon all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewithal shall ye be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he's giving us command, and he's saying to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the stuff that you're worrying about is going to be added unto you. You just got to do the first part that God is requiring us to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so if I look at verse 6:25, it says the same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of your life. So many times we are worried about the details of our life, but why all the details? We're worried about, well, if I don't have a job, I can't pay this, I can't do this, I can't do that. Stop worrying about the details. He is your provision. And he said, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all this other stuff will be added unto you. We got to remember that God is our provision. And so he is the one that is taking care of us. The Bible tells us if you keep your mind stayed on him, you'll stay in perfect peace. And so that's what you want to do, keep your mind focused on him and not on the things that the enemy tries to bring up to distract you. When the enemy tries to bring up, oh, look, you got all this due, but this is what money you got in the bank, those are distractions. Keep your hope and your faith in God. That's what we have to do. And look at verse 26. Verse 26 tells us, worrying about the future hampers your efforts for today. It said, take no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. So we only need to be concerned. We only need to be dealing with what's going on today. Don't let your thoughts or your worry hamper what's going on in the future. It will hinder what is going on, because if you do, then it will hinder what is going on today. That's what it says. And then in 6:27 says, worrying is more harmful than helpful. When you worry, first of all, you're saying you don't trust God. When you worry, you're saying that he can't do it. But Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. If you're seeking the kingdom of God, you're diligently seeking him. He said all that other stuff will be added unto you. He's giving you a promise there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be added unto you. Then the Bible tells us, I think it's in 1 Peter where it tells us to cast, I think it's 5 and 7, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That means everything you're concerned about, give it to God, because he cares for you. We shouldn't be worrying about all this stuff, because we can't do nothing about it anyway. Only God can. And when we keep our belief and our trust and our faith in him, that moves God. All that worrying and complaining and, oh, that don't move God. We got to know what moves God. Your sacrifice of praise moves God. Your worship will move God, because first of all, worship is going to bring you into his presence. And I always believe that if we're in his presence, that's when you're going to see the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. Wasn't it when they were in Jesus' presence that miracles happened? Is that what was going on? When they came to Jesus, when they got in his presence, that's when the blind eyes was opened. That's when healing took place. That's when they were able to go to the river and get the money out of the fish's mouth. When they were in his presence, worship will bring you into his presence. Worship, and not, you got to worship more and not worry. Verses 28:30 says, God does not ignore those who depend on him. He does not ignore you. If you're depending on him, if your trust and your faith is in him, he does not ignore you. You are in his presence. He has not left you alone. He is keeping you. And then verse 31 and 32 says, worry shows a lack of faith and in an understanding of God. We don't want to show a lack of faith. That's what worry does. Stop worrying about it. And if you got to turn off the news, if you got to shut down social media so you can stay in peace, then you just got to do it. But stop listening to the stuff that is, if it's causing you anxiety, then don't listen to it. Trust God for what you're praying to receive. And keep your faith right there. Don't let nobody say nothing else in your ear gate. You got to protect your eye gate and your ear gate, because that's where the stuff comes in. And you remember that? Some of y'all can remember. You know, we used to have a cartoon where it was a little devil on one side and a little angel on one side, and they both was talking chitter-chatter. And so you don't want to hear that chitter-chatter that the devil is trying to put in your ear to cause you to worry. You don't want that. So, you know, you got to block it out. So sometimes that means you might have to shut down the news. Don't listen to it. So much drama. And pray. And listen for that still, small voice that God is going to speak to you and tell you what it is you need to do. That's what we got to think about. Verse 33 says, worrying keeps us from real challenges God wants us to pursue. Sometimes God has given us a purpose. He's given us purpose and destiny. And so he gives us something to do, but because we're so fearful, we don't pursue it. You have got to begin to pursue the things that God has told you to do. Stop being fearful about it. If he told you to do it, he gonna bring all the rest of that together. He will. He'll send the people you need. He'll bring the finances you need. He'll get you in front of the people you need to get in front of. We just got to trust him. Our hope has got to be in him. He said the man that hopes in him, he blesses the man that hopes in him. And he said he doesn't ignore the ones that depend on him. And I'm dependent on God. I believe God. My faith is in God. And I trust him. That's what I got to say right there. And then in verse 6, chapter 34 says, living one day at a time keeps us from being consumed with worry. We're in this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This day. I can't do nothing about tomorrow, because tomorrow God going to give me a new mercy anyway. But today, I got what he got for me today. So let us be concerned. I hope this encourages somebody to let go of worry. Things you can't do nothing about, you can't worry about it. Give it to God. Cast your cares, I think it's 1 Peter 5 and 7, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. And then I think it's Matthew 28 and 26, let me see where it talks about, come unto me all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, upon you, for my burden is easy. Let's see. No, that ain't me. That ain't me. Anyway, I didn't plan to read that, but it came to my mind, so I don't think I'm reading. But anyway, that wasn't on my scripture list. Anyway, praise the Lord. Everybody that's joining me here on Facebook Live, I want somebody to be encouraged. Anybody on the broadcast have anything they want to say? They want to encourage us with about worry? Okay, well, I'll keep going. So anyway, I just wanted somebody to be encouraged. I might not take the whole hour today, but I really didn't study, but those are the scriptures that came to my mind when I was reading, and the Lord told me that. But Philippians 4:7, that was my other scripture I believe. So let's go there to Philippians 4:7. I didn't even have it marked. Yes, Philippians 4:7, because this gives us the blueprint for what we should be doing instead of trying to worry. Don't worry. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, and this is what I wrote in my notes. Stop allowing worry over things you have no control over to cause you recklessness. Go to bed. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bed because I ain't going to be up all night. I'm not going to do it. This peace is not absence of conflict. It's some of the peace that God gives us. But our positive thoughts, our real peace comes from knowing that God is in control. But here it is, Philippians 4:7. And it says that, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what it says. It says the peace of God. God can give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. All understanding, that's what it says. And what we need to do, joy, is we need to think about the things of pure and things that are lovely, so that we can just think on things that cause, keep us from being discouraged, keep us from being, keep us grateful. Be grateful. Be grateful. You may not have a job, but be grateful. Because God is in control. I've been without a job. As a matter of fact, I don't have one right now. My job ended on the 31st, but I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. And, you know, and the enemy, let me tell you, so I always got to tell my back. The enemy was trying to tell me, oh, look at you back here. You don't have a job. You don't have a job. It looks like you're repeating something. And I said, well, Lord, I said, why am I repeating this? I said, I did say this. I said, because I did what I was supposed to do. I did what you told me to do. I'm a tither and a giver. I said I paid my bills on time. I saved. I paid stuff off. I said so. And so then the Lord brought this to me. That was the enemy telling me, you know, trying to tell me, oh, look. And then the Lord said, remember the children of Israel when they got ready to cross over to the promised land and they were getting to fight in Jericho, right? And so, you know, they were used to getting their weapons together and getting ready to do battle. But God told them to walk around the city. Could you imagine what the people of Jericho was thinking? Because here they had heard about Israel. They had heard about God. They had heard about their God. And matter of fact, they thought it was more of a nature God, because when they thought about the plagues of Israel, they were all nature. And, you know, they were the frogs, or that they were, you know, they had something to do with that. And so they kind of thought that, and so they kind of brushed it off like, you know, they're a walled city. How can they take over? How can they destroy us? We're behind this wall. And that wall was big. It was about 24 feet high and about 20 feet deep. So it wasn't no little structure. It was a big structure. And so what was going on was is that they were walking around the city. Now, they just got through walking around in the wilderness. Matter of fact, God told them, you have walked around this mountain long enough. It's time for you to go northward. So it was time for them to begin to move forward. And so after Moses had did, you know, that had talked to them about their commitment and all that, it was time for them to cross over the Jordan. And so they began to walk around the wall. So they went around the wall 13 times in total. So the first 6 days they walked around one time. The seventh day they went around seven more times. I believe I'm correct in that. And so they went around that many more times. But the one thing, and so I can imagine the people thinking, here these people are making the same circular motion. They're going around and around and around. But what they didn't realize is that the mindset of the people were different. Their mindset was different. They didn't have a wilderness mindset anymore. They had a promised land mindset. And so because of that, God brought this back to my remember. He said because of their mindset, the more they walked around that wall, the weaker the wall was becoming. And then when they walked around that last time and God told them to shout, it was just like they hit the bullseye and the walls came tumbling down. So the Lord wanted me to encourage somebody, as he told me the other testimony, to encourage somebody. It might look like you're doing the same, you're going through the same thing you just was going through, but this time your mindset is different. You got a victory mindset. You don't have a wilderness mindset. You don't have a fearful mindset. You got a winning mindset. You got a victory mindset. Therefore, God is going to bring victory out of this situation. Just like he does that, he's going to bring victory out of this situation. So your mindset has got to begin to say, I know you think, you got to tell them, no, this ain't the same thing. This ain't the same situation. This time I got some money saved up. This time I got bills paid off. I don't have nobody calling me about nothing. So this time our mindset is different. And so because my mindset is different, I'm headed toward victory. I'm headed toward victory. I'm headed toward victory. I'm getting ready to see miracles and signs and wonders. Because what am I going to do? I'm going to do like Noah did. I'm going to offer up a sacrifice so it can be a sweet-smelling savor to our Lord, to God. And so that he can hear, that he can smell the sweet thing, say, and he'll begin to move on my behalf. He made a covenant with Noah that day. He said, I won't do this like this no more. So guess what? He's not going to do it like he did at that time. He's not going to do what he did that time. He's going to do something for you, miraculous. He's going to do something for you that's going to cause you to understand that God is on my side. No matter what this looks like, God is on my side. I'm not worried about it because God is on my side. My mindset is different. That first time when I lost my job, I was murmuring, complaining, and fussing and frustrated. I'm not this time. God is in control. My mindset is different. I'm like them children of Israel. When I'm walking around Jericho and the walls will come down, I will be victorious. So that's the mindset you got to have. Do like Noah and begin to offer a sacrifice of praise. Begin to offer and begin to get into worship. Worship God more so he can be in your presence, because that's when the miracles and signs and wonders can take place, just like they did when they were in the presence of Jesus Christ. Miracles, signs, and wonders took place. Come on here. You got to believe that this is what's going to happen. Just like Noah was shut up in that ark, we might be shut in a little bit with this pandemic. But the one thing we got is God on our side. He said, if God be for you, he is more than the world against you. We got something to thank God for today. We got something to be grateful for. We got something to thank God for. He is an amazing God. And so we don't have to worry. We don't have to let worry bring us down. Cast them cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. That's what he told us to do. Does anybody have anything they want to say on the broadcast? Okay, well, I hope somebody was encouraged by what the Lord gave me today. I know I'm supposed to be talking about submission, but he told me to talk about this, and I think he got something else for me to talk about next because I wrote the list down. But anyway, we'll get back to where we were. I ain't going to worry about it. Sometimes we need to switch gears because sometimes people need more than something, just saying, oh, I got to be, you got to do this. So he wanted me to say this because he wanted me to encourage somebody. I hope somebody's encouraged about it. I hope somebody's encouraged today to know that God is on your side. Don't worry about it. God is on your side. Nothing stuff you can't do nothing about, don't worry about it. God is on your side. He is an amazing God, and I'm so thankful that I'm so thankful to be his child. I'm so thankful to be up under him. I'm so thankful. And I'm so grateful for all that he's doing in my life. I'm thankful for every shut door. I'm thankful for every open door. I'm thankful for all that he's doing. I thank him for keeping me. I thank him for keeping a roof over my head. I thank him for keeping me with food to eat. I got food to share. I got stuff to share. So I'm so thankful for that. I don't have to be selfish because I can share and give to somebody else. God is blessing me. I know a miracle is coming my way because I feel it. I feel inspired by it. I feel excited about it. I know God has got this thing right here, and I'm so excited about it. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm going to do like Noah did. I'm going to give a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to let the prayer to come up before God be like a sweet-smelling incense. And so I'm just so thankful for that. Now, next week, next Saturday, is our hour of prayer. I'm going to post my flyer out. I'm going to do my own little flyers now. I figured out how to do so. But anyway, I'm doing that. So, Emma, I'm going to post that out. I got Pastor Rebecca Allen Merriweather is going to be one of our prayer warriors. Evangelist Eddie Clark is on. Eddie Kendrick, Lord, I'm still calling by my other name. Eddie Kendrick is going to be one of our prayer warriors. And then Elder Tiffany Willis is going to do our praise and worship. And then I might have a couple other ladies on there. I think Elder Timberlake, I don't know if she told me yes or not, but she may be on there. I might ask Sister Phyllis Dotson to get on there and pray as well. We got some women that are going to be weeping and wailing. And so we're going to be praying for this nation. We're going to be praying against worry. We're going to be praying against frustration and fear and doubt. We're going to be praying against all of that. I don't know what that was just ran past my window. But anyway, we're going to be praying against all of that. And so we're just so thankful that I thank God that he is such a keeper and he's a blessing and everything. And so anyway, I'm so thankful for that. But anyway, God is in control. Be encouraged. And if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that does not know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity. Maybe you didn't take the opportunity or you weren't listening to nobody's service this morning, but this is an opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. Because he is ready to receive you. He died on the cross for our sins. He died. Oh, they're cutting the grass. I'm just saying, Lord, what is going on around here? That's the yard, man. He's cutting the grass. So anyway, I thank the Lord for that. Because I said, I was scared to go outside. The weeds had got up so high. I said, what's going on here? But anyway, he said something. I thought he was coming Tuesday, but I guess he came today. But anyway, to know God and the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to be able to accept God into your life, that he will be your Savior. He wants you to come in. The family of God wants you to come in. The angels are rejoicing in heaven when you come in. When you come in and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I am ready to turn from my ways and give my life totally over to you. I am ready for that, Lord. So just repeat these. You know, the Bible tells us this. In Romans 10, in the 10th chapter, the 9th and the 10th verse, and it says, I got distracted by that. It runs past my window. 9th and the 10th, it's the 9th verse. I didn't have that up anyway. But it says, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you call upon the name of the Lord today, and if you just pray this prayer with me, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I believe, Lord, in my heart that God, that I confess in my mouth and the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. And so, Lord, say, come into my heart today and save me. Deliver me from my sin. And, Lord, fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe if you have prayed that prayer that you are saved today. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Find you a Bible, good Bible-believing teaching church. And they're online now, so you don't have to, you know, if you don't want to go to the brick and mortar, for those that are having church in this building, you don't have to. You can find somebody online to teach you. Bible classes online. All these things are online. And so the Lord, you can get the teaching you need without any, you know, you can just get what you need right now. And so let God do it for you. Find you some place to go. Look at somebody online and find you somewhere to go so that the Lord can continue to strengthen you and bless you for giving your life to him today. And don't be discouraged. You can get the Holy Ghost right there in your house. I know plenty of people that got the Holy Ghost right there in their home. So God can do it right there in the house with you. And so just believe God. And I'm telling you, don't worry about things. Give it over to God. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And so we're going to end. So we're having a prayer on Saturday at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, at 6 o'clock Eastern, and the women are going to be in the room. The women will be in the wailing women are going to be in the room praying. If anybody else that wants to join us, feel free to do so, and we will be in there praying. We're going to be on both the broadcast and on Zoom. So we're going to be on Zoom and on Facebook, and we'll be on the broadcast as well. And so we're going to do both of those. I'm going to send a Zoom request out, and we're going to be on Monday. We'll focus on Facebook Live and prayerfully all the kinks that we've got worked out, so I won't have to have the video edited. But anyway, if I do, I do. So anyway, we thank God for each and every one of you that joined us here on Facebook Live. We thank you, those that called in, those that logged in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you joining us. And we just ask and we pray. We're going to pray here in a minute, but we just believe in God that you will be blessed, that you won't worry, that God will strengthen you, you will have peace, and you will be thankful and grateful for all that God is doing and God is keeping you. He's in control. Don't look at what everybody's saying, thinking they're in control. God is still in control. They're just mere men. They are not God, but God is our God. He is the one we trust in. He's the one we have faith in. So just stay encouraged, be encouraged, and remember this message. If you can't do nothing about it, give it over to God and listen for God's voice. And just continue to give him a sacrifice of praise. When things come upon you and the enemy's trying to speak all that trash in your ear, just begin to give God the glory. Begin to give God the praise. And remember to do that. And then get in your place of worship and get into his presence so things can be changed in your life. We thank God for each and every one of you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one that was on this line today, on this live feed today. Everybody was on the radio broadcast, that linked in, those that called in, those that will even listen to it later in the archives. Lord, we thank you. We ask you to bless them, Lord, abundantly, doing Ephesians 3 and 20, Lord, exceedingly abundantly and above all they could even ask or think. We thank you for that soul that gave their life to the Lord today. We thank you, Lord, for all of those that were healed today. We thank you for all of those that were comforted today. We thank you for all of those, Lord, that were blessed today. Lord, we thank you for all the need being supplied today. We thank you, Lord, that you are provision. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God. You are our keeper. You are our sovereign God. We thank you for a wall of fire being around about us. We thank you for your angels encamping around about us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, that we are blessed. And we are blessed because of your goodness and because of your mercy. We thank you, Lord. Our trust is in you. Our faith is in you. Our hope is in you. And we believe, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you, hallelujah, for everything. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us. We're thankful that you are on our side. Bless all of those that need to be blessed. You know their prayer requests. You know what they stand in need of. We ask you to meet it, Lord. We ask you to bless them, Lord. We ask you, Lord, we rebuke anxiety in the houses of no anxiety in the people in the houses of your people. Bring peace. Let peace walk in that door right now, Lord. And let it surpass all understanding, Lord, and keep their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to bless Monisa Clay. I ask you to touch her body. Continue to touch her body, Father, in the name of Jesus. Pastor Sarah Bible, continue to touch her body. Lord, and all of those that I've seen that have requested prayer, one of the bishops died. Bless that family, Lord Jesus. Bishop Ellis, Lord, the second, bless his family, Father, in the name of Jesus. Comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, and we thank you for your healing virtue flowing through the bodies of your people. Lord, and healing testimonies come forth. We thank you, Lord, healing testimonies of COVID-19 are going to come forth. We thank you for all the healing testimonies that will come forth, all the provision testimonies that will come forth. We thank you for it right now because we believe, God, you are moving on the behalf of your people. Lord, the Jericho walls are coming down in the lives of your people. Lord, and they're going to be able to go over there and get the spoil, oh, God. The battle was already won in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless each and every one of you. I think I got a single talk coming up this week as well. I think it's on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. It's on Thursday. Me and Steve Ward are going to be in, talking, single talking. So we're going to be doing that. And so and we're going to be talking about a bunch of little stuff. And so it'll be nice. But anyway, so join me back here on Thursday at 7, I believe it is, Thursday at 7. And then Friday, Saturday at 5, and then back here on Sunday at 5 o'clock again. So God bless. This is the last week of the month is when I do a lot of stuff. But anyway, God bless each and every one of you is my prayer. And to God be the glory for the things that he has done. He is an awesome God, and we're so thankful for everything that he's doing. God bless you all.